again. This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 94 in a series of 260 broadcasts highlighting the happenings and the people who made things happen since 1946, the WHKP years. It follows the same format of the great Frank Fitzsimmons historical series, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. Today, Walter B. Smith, court jester of the people. My first memories of Walter B. Smith go back to the days when all my brothers and sisters were still at home. Walter B. was a friend of my dad, and two or three times a month he'd come to the house, always arriving after everyone had eaten supper. And knowing that Mom, as all mamas back then, might not have fancy food to cook, but she always had plenty for the whole family. And she'd always insist, "Now, Walter, everybody's already eaten, so you just sit down, help yourself to anything that's left. Otherwise, it's going to be thrown out." Walter would then sit down to eat, and then after the meal would launch into one of his famous tirades against the establishment. Walter didn't shout, but he did, as we say in broadcasting, he projected. Well, I'd simply go to bed with no idea of how long Walter had stayed. After Dad died, it wasn't long before Walter started stopping by for a visit with my family. And we followed the same routine that Mom had used. "If you don't eat, Walter, it'll be thrown out." Except now, after supper, instead of Dad, I'd be the one to listen. You didn't ever need to answer. In fact, I'd sometimes doze off to sleep while Walter maintained a totally uninterrupted delivery on every conceivable subject. I'd dozed off to sleep one night when Walter had talked and talked and talked, and I suddenly awakened and I says, "Walter, it's about bedtime, don't you think?" Well, we had a little white dog then named Casper. Now, Walter was not renowned for the cleanliness and care of his clothing, and his hat must have had a rather pungent odor around the sweatband, because as Walter had talked and I had dozed, the little dog ate the crown and sweatband out of Walter's hat. When Walter reached down to pick up his hat, all that was left was the brim. Walter grunted disgustedly and said, "That damn dog's eaten my hat." But he just simply put on the brim and stormed out the door. Walter always wanted to be the center of attraction. He would walk into a busy restaurant at lunch or dinner time and pick up the payphone and start loudly asking the operator, "Please get me the White House. I want to speak to the president." If it was Eisenhower or Truman, whatever. And as he would continue talking in this loud voice, gradually the room would get quiet and people would be whispering, "Walter's talking to the president." Now, nobody ever really knew whether Walter was talking to the president, or maybe he was just talking to a telephone operator, or for all I know, maybe to a dead line. But he gradually developed a reputation of being able to get hold of the most powerful men in the world. And he particularly enjoyed pestering Billy Rose, who was administrator of North Carolina's highways back in the 50s and 60s. Because when a public hearing was scheduled for Hendersonville on locating I-26, Billy called me and he says, "Kermit, if we have any outburst from Walter Smith during this hearing, we'll simply adjourn the meeting. Do you think you might be able to keep him under control without his usual outbursts?" "I'll talk to him," I responded. Down through the years, I discovered there were two Walter Smiths, one that appeared in public, before any audience, to perform. The other, unknown to most people, was the one who, in private, was a reasonable man. After I'd talked to Walter, he gave me his word there'd be no disruption of the hearing. Well, the hearing was to be held in the courtroom of the old courthouse. At the exact moment the meeting was to begin, doors to both aisles of the courtroom burst open, and in walked men bearing boxes of apples, followed by Walter B. Smith. A box of apples was placed in front of every highway commissioner and other top officials. And then Walter gave a brief but beautiful welcoming speech, and along with his apple bearers, he made a dramatic exit from the courtroom. I looked at Billy Rose and winked. Billy just closed his eyes and shook his head. Later, Walter had a press conference and thanked William Dalton and Leon Stepp for donating the apples and Bill Francis for the gift of 18 bushel baskets. When our daughter, Katina, was only 3 or 4 years old, Walter, on Christmas Eve, would wait till the supermarkets were closing and would con one of the managers into giving him one of those 4-foot-high display dolls, and would drop it off the door to the house. That doll was always bigger than Katina. Walter tried to interest me in buying lots in Laurel Park that he owned, perhaps one or more, the very lots he had offered perhaps to the Benedict girl and her elopement partner. That story tomorrow from the seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.